Welcome into In Focus News Radio, KMAN. Brandon Peoples with you here this morning, and joined on the phone. We are in a conference call here today with some NBAF officials. We have from the National Bio and Agri-Defense Facility, coordinator for APHIS, Sam Burton. Good morning.
Morning, Brandon. Good to visit with you this morning.
Absolutely. Glad to have you on the call. We also have Katie Pulaski, NBAF Communications Director, joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Glad to be here.
And also Mr. Jeff Brackey, NBAF Facilities Director. And I believe he's in Fort Collins, Colorado. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct, Brandon. Thanks a lot for inviting me today.
Yeah, glad to have you all on the phone here. We're all in different places, of course. Some of us broadcasting out of state, some of us in living rooms and other places. Yeah, I'm here at the studio, but it's great to have you guys all on. It's kind of our new normal right now. And, of course, the news of the day right now is COVID-19 and how it is impacting everything. And I know NBAF itself, not immune to this. We'll talk to Dr. Burton first here. What do the current circumstances mean for operations both at NBAF and at Plum Island?
Well, Brandon, as you just alluded to, we're definitely learning how to work with our technology and keeping things moving forward as we need and keeping progress moving as is needed. Plum Island, the challenge for that is, you know, that is not only a reference laboratory for transboundary animal diseases for the United States, but also as a world reference laboratory. So it is necessary to have it running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 a year. And Plum Island continues to be operational to support all of the testing that's needed for the high consequence livestock diseases that you know have samples sent to the laboratory. It's fully operational, and you know, is continuing to support the mission for the USDA's Agricultural Research Service and the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, and then also the Department of Homeland Security. So they're all three agencies are working together on the island to keep operations fully functional, but yet at the same time are working together on the transition of the facilities from Plum Island, New York, to Manhattan, Kansas, to the NBAF. So challenges there, but everything is still 100% operational and going forward. And as you can guess here with NBAF, you know, again, we're depending tremendous amount on our technology and our IT teams, and our IT teams have just stepped up and done a wonderful job for us. But we're still moving forward fully operational as far as all of our unit leads meeting by teleconference or different digital platforms, and meeting very consistently and going forward full speed ahead at this point, given the condition.
And remind me when NBAF is scheduled to be fully operational again?
Well, we've got three goals, basically, Brandon. Number one, December 10th of this year, 2020, we'll begin a phased approach of NBAF employees moving into the facility. And then the end of 2022 is when we have scheduled to become fully operational, have full operational capability, with the goal, the end goal of the end of 2023 is when we want to have all of the programs transitioned off of Plum Island here to Manhattan at the NBAF.
All right. So, and nothing's changed with that deadline due to the COVID-19 pandemic then?
No, not at this point. As I say, we're still working full speed ahead on everything.
Okay, very good. And NBAF will have the capacity to work on diseases that may transfer from animals to humans, correct?
Yep, that's true. Our mission is going to be to protect, you know, the United States against these transboundary animal diseases. And transboundary animal diseases, sometimes you'll hear them called foreign animal diseases, and both of those terms are correct. Sometimes, because NBAF has a global mission, when you're talking to someone from a country that a disease, an animal disease, may be pretty normal or endemic to the country, when you're talking about a foreign disease, that's not foreign to them. So a lot of times what we'll use is transboundary, and that reflects diseases that can cross boundaries. So they'll cross state boundaries, international boundaries, and sometimes even species boundaries. And, you know, those diseases, another term that you hear a lot of times, Brandon, is zoonotic, and those are diseases in animals that have the capability to transfer from animals to humans and cause disease in humans. So, again, that also circles back to NBAP's mission to protect public health. And then combining both of those, basically, disease in livestock affects our food supply. So, basically, in a nutshell, you know, NBAP's working forward to protect the livestock industry, animal health, public health, and our food supply.
How much, Dr. Burton, does what's happening right now in the news parallel the grave magnitude of the stuff you're trying to prevent there with foreign animal diseases at NBAF?
Well, you know, right now, we're so much is focused on the human public health side, and at the same time, all of those issues are being addressed, and we're all dealing with the changes and challenges associated with the public health pandemic that's out there right now. You know, all of these things that go on to protect the livestock and food supply and also public health go on with USDA. And so, you know, all of the research, all of the inspections, the import restrictions that have to be followed for animals coming into the United States, all of those things have to continue to be able to all of us as humans and as a domestic population fed and being able to adapt as best we can.
All right. Again, we're talking with NBAF's Dr. Ken Burton. We also have Katie Pulaski and Mr. Jeff Brackey, NBAF Facilities Director, joining us on the phone here this morning. And we'll be taking questions, but via email here, studio at 1350kman.com. We'll get to those a little bit later in the program. Want to give an opportunity to let Mr. Brackey speak here. Jeff, good morning. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up working with NBAF.
Yes, Brandon. I've been very fortunate in my career. I began doing large projects in program management for 15 years in the Department of Defense, very similar work and size work to NBAF. Then I progressed to 5 years in private industry as the facilities director for a worldwide company spanning Asia, Europe, and North America for all their facilities. And then right before I came to ARS, I was 10 years as a program manager for General Services Administration, another federal agency, and I created two programs that assisted services and construction operations and maintenance worldwide for other agencies. After completed that, I came to ARS 3 years ago as the facilities branch chief for the western part of the United States. And all these experiences, thankfully, have prepared me for what NBAF is. And as Ken alluded to, NBAF has an important mission in the facilities. It is very unique and mission-oriented. And last October, I was offered the opportunity and given the opportunity to become facilities chief for NBAF, and I accepted, and I'm very happy to be in the position.
Great. And so tell us what the facility teams will be, or the facilities team will be responsible for once NBAF is up and open.
Well, our main thing we'll be doing is operating and maintaining all the buildings and related systems to support the scientific mission that Ken described. It's basically a campus setting. There's the NBAF, the main building that will house the scientific labs and administrative offices. And then there's support buildings for the scientific mission. There's the central utility plant, provides the heating and cooling for the rest of the campus. There's a wastewater treatment plant and solid waste treatment. There's a transshipping building that basically handles all the shipping and receiving that comes into the facility. And there'll be a visitor center that'll provide the entryway to the site.
Okay, and I see there's $1.25 billion facility is designed to be self-contained and that all critical facility systems will be 100% or will have 100% backup and redundancy. What does that mean exactly?
Well, when you set up buildings and campuses of this side, you design and build to what the normal loads are expected for utility usage and system consumption. So in the case, since the scientific mission is so critical and they run 24/7 a lot of their scientific uses, in case there's any kind of system issues anywhere, the facility systems have been designed with backup. So if there's an issue comes up, there's a backup available for that to take its place. And for system redundancy is when you're running a utility, say you're providing heating for the building, and you're utilizing a sequence of boilers, you have redundant boilers that are set aside, and then they can kick over. And so like 1 month, you'll run one set of boilers, and then next month, you'll run another set of boilers. And that way, the sequencing saves on the equipment life and allows the maintenance crews to do maintenance on the equipment when the other equipment's running and can go back and forth. So that's how the redundancy system's set up.
So if something ever, let's say something breaks there, the other stuff could be repaired while you're utilizing the other system there?
Yes, we have a staff and we have set up for equipment usage and materials and supplies that are set up for what's anticipated for routine maintenance. And if something more critical nature happens, we do have backup equipment set up.
Okay, very good. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick time out. I've got to take a break here. We'll come back, and I've got a question here from a listener, and we'll get to that real fast, and we'll continue our conversation with Jeff Brackey, NBAF Facilities Director, when we return on News Radio KMAN.